Irreverent. Entertaining. Cool. You're listening to the only radio that matters. BBS Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the Sam and Manu Show. This is Wednesday, Manu.
I know.
March 5th.
Already. And it's almost a week over.
We're well into March.
Yeah, I know.
I know. You know, it's going to be the first day of spring this month.
Oh,
so,
okay.
So much for the winter. But we've had a pretty cool winter, huh? I mean, we had some rain and cold and everything.
Yeah, I suppose I can, recognize winter and... You know, they're going into spring and so on. I never had that experience growing up.
Really?
No, not
no
at all.
No seasons?
No.
Really?
It was either stinking freaking hot or cold.
Really?
And that was it.
Nothing in between.
Nothing in between.
Wow.
Never knew, never understood what spring and autumn was. I mean, I learned it in school.
Yeah.
But I had no idea what it was.
Really?
Yeah, or understood what it was.
Wow.
And it used to confuse the shit out of me.
Yeah.
Because at Christmas time, of course, it's winter over here, and we're getting all the films with snow and snowmans and stuff like that. And particularly, I remember specifically remembering Days of Our Lives, you know, how they celebrate Christmas and so on.
Right.
And it's all this snow. I was like, I don't understand. It's so hot.
Mm-hmm.
Where do they get this from? And this is when I was a little kid.
Yeah, that's summer. And so you have hot summers back there?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
What does it get to, like 110 or something? You probably remember it in Celsius, right?
I remember it in Celsius. So it was usually around 40, 42, 43.
Yeah, that's over 100 degrees.
Typically 38. It's kind of like a nice day, but when it does get over 40s. So that's like, what, 120, 130?
Mm-hmm.
Something like that?
Yeah.
Shit. And that's with humidity, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we're right there on the East Coast.
Oh, God, I can't stand humidity, you know? When I go to Miami or something, forget it. It's way too sticky there for me.
Oh, yeah. You know? It's really sticky.
Yeah.
And we used to take showers in the garden. you know, because it was so hot, uh-huh. and we would wear just a sarong or a bikini.
Right.
And you need to cool down, you just step out in the garden, put on the hose,
yeah.
hose yourself down, and there's no bother drying yourself because you'd be wet straight away.
Wow.
Yeah. It was that
interesting.
Hot.
Interesting.
I know.
So get this, last night, you know, what I do usually in the evening is I try to pay some attention to my wife, which I mm-hmm. haven't been very successful at. And then I work, you know, and I work and I work and I work. And so last night I'm waking up at 2:00 in the morning and I don't realize where I am or why. And I'm looking around and I fell asleep on the chair. We have a very comfortable chair in the living room. I fell asleep with a laptop on my lap. The battery is like burning, you know.
Oh my gosh.
And my glasses are still on and everything. And all the lights are on. And my wife's already gone to bed a long time ago. And so I'm like going, shit, I only have 3 hours left to sleep, you know. And I haven't even been in bed yet.
Yeah.
So it was like so weird, you know. I never fall asleep where I sit, you know. But I must have been like extremely tired. Oh, and I know why also, because as I was working, I always have our shows playing in the background, you know, whether
right.
it's us or Johnny or TJ or whatever, you know, all the shows I listen to. And so I had earphones on and I was listening and I must have just fallen asleep listening.
Oh my God.
That's pretty funny, you know. So I'm pretty tired myself and you look tired.
Yeah, I couldn't sleep a wink last night.
Really? So all night you were awake?
All night. I was just like, yeah, it was horrible.
Really?
It was horrible.
And what was that? Your mind wasn't resting? Or?
My mind was not resting at all.
Really?
Yeah.
And you worked yesterday, right?
I did.
Is that what you were thinking about, work and things like that?
No, not necessarily. I don't know. I don't think it was work specifically. I think it was just a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
And I had this kind of like a feisty conversation with someone yesterday.
Yeah.
At work. Yeah, at work, with a customer that had been coming in.
He's
made it his ritual now.
I see. So he already comes to see you every day.
Yeah, he already comes in to see me every day. And we got on the conversation, in-depth conversation. Uh-huh, I think that's what was playing in my mind about that. Because I said, aha, now you see I can be feisty.
Yeah. So what, he gave you a hard time or what?
Oh, no. I think we were just, like, on debating issues, mm-hmm.
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
About certain things, about,
yeah.
you
So
know.
You were getting feisty? Why? Were
yeah,
you getting
we
impatient with him, or what?
No, we were, I guess we were just pushing each other's buttons.
Oh, yeah.
But in a good way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But uh-huh. in a good way.
Yeah.
So, anyway, that was kind of fabulous,
interesting.
I thought.
So, that's one thing. I always thought that being a bartender is a pretty interesting job, you know, because you get to talk to people all day.
Oh, yeah, we do. Yeah, we do. Hey, as a matter of fact, hang on, I forgot about this. Hang on, I'm going to grab a CD from my bag here.
Okay. So, Manu is going to get us a CD. I don't know what she has in mind.
No, this is a client, a customer that comes into my place.
Right.
And he's pretty excited because he made it to the billboards, and he has claimed the number,
Billboard magazine. You mean
Billboard magazine,
right?
And he made it to the top 10
really?
Artists
uh-huh.
To look out for, you know,
oh, yeah.
for his music and so on.
Wow.
So anyway,
well, that's what he told you anyway.
Yeah. No. I saw the magazine.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. He showed me the magazine.
Oh, wow.
He says, like, check this out. I'm so excited,
yeah.
you know.
So what's his name?
And he's going to Nashville and so on.
Really?
Well, his name is Brad Kolarik.
Uh-huh.
And his it's actually quite a nice looking CD. It's Lines in the Dirt is the name of his CD.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, I wasn't quite sure what to expect, or you know what I mean. I thought, like, oh, maybe a bit of rock. He looks like a bit of a rocker and so on.
Yeah.
But it turns out that he's a country singer.
Oh.
Now, I am not a fan of country singing.
No. Not even remotely.
Not even.
Yes.
However, I actually listened to this CD, and I really enjoyed it.
Really?
I did.
Uh-huh.
And I even can name the specific tracks that I really liked.
Really?
Now, the funny thing is that he came in again yesterday, and I said, oh my God, I really loved your CD, and I am by far not a country,
music fan. Yes, right.
And I said, I am so glad you kept number one as your number one track. Because if you listen to it, and I'd love us to play it, because if you listen to the words, it's funny as shit.
Really?
And his wife at the time, or and some other people, said, oh, you can't play that song. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't record that song. It's a little crazy, you know?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And he says, I'm so glad I kept it.
Really?
You know, on his tracks.
Uh-huh.
Because it is quite something. But you have to listen to the words. It's quite funny.
Yeah? Okay.
Yeah.
So
a lot of people can relate to this, I'm sure.
Really? Is the music going to put us to sleep?
No, not at all. Not at all. Track one. So anyways, but I had to wait to see him again to get permission.
Right.
You know what I mean? To play it for obvious reasons. And he says, yeah, sure. And I says, like, I have to play track one.
Really?
And he just laughed at me.
Uh-huh.
And I says, like, cool. Now, what do you think of, you know, when you think of country and Western music,
mm-hmm.
right, you think of, oh, boo-hoo, she left me.
Yeah,
oh,
like very sad.
You know,
sad
all this kind of stuff.
Right.
Well, this is something a little different.
Yeah?
Yeah, it is.
Okay. So we'll listen to it. His name again is what?
His name is Brad Kolarik.
Okay.
I guess we'll ride the bus, but everyone should be jealous of the two of us.
Is this a song?
Is that track one?
Yeah.
Sometimes
we're gonna laugh.
So dang easy.
Oh, hang on. Let her fall in lines in the dirt, dismal, Jerez, remember me, paper boy. Hang on, track nine.
What's
we
it
gotta,
called?
We gotta go to track nine.
What's it called?
My ex-wife.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry about that.
That's okay.
Sorry about that.
I know that we made you listen to a country song.
Sometimes I get the feeling I've been here before. I sat on this porch and I walk through that door. It's a little bit eerie, it's a tiny.
I can't listen to this, Manu.
No, you gotta listen to the song.
Life, okay, I'm
think
trying.
My ex-wife was a little deranged.
Okay, you have to listen to the words.
Okay, I will.
I swear on a Bible I can hear her complain. It's deep in my psyche now. That voice in my brain. When I reach for a bottle, I feel a bump on my head. Then a cold, empty feeling as I'm lying in bed.
Are you sure this is a song you're talking about?
My ex-wife was crazy, I feel. I know it sounds weird, but I see it so clear. Vivid premonition of life here.
Okay, you know, I can't listen to this.
Aww,
I mean, there's nothing funny about this song, Manu.
No, it's about listening to the song. He's talking about how his ex-wife was a freaking crazy woman.
Okay.
And every time he turned around, he really felt her getting ready to stab him in the back with a knife or smash a bottle over his head.
Yeah.
And like, he talks about this whole, like, stepping on eggshells because his wife was literally crazy.
Really?
So he gets rid of her and still has these bad memories of a really bad marriage. And he hates her.
Yeah.
But
it takes him too long and it's too slow to tell us that story, Manu. Come on, you know, my attention span is that of a bee.
Yeah, I see that now.
Okay.
Oh, there's the castle.
Yeah.
Oh, there's the castle. Oh, there's the castle. Is that you, Sam?
Thank you very much. Listen, if I play something you don't like, I'll take it off too, okay? So relax. Besides, I'm in control of the board, so fuck you.
Yeah, I know. You love to have control, don't you, Sam?
No, it's not about control at all.
Oh, yeah.
No, it's not about control.
Oh, yeah.
You want to control the fucking board, then you do it.
You're
yeah,
right.
Yeah, you see?
There you're you right. You wouldn't let me.
Why?
Huh?
Yeah, I'll sit there. It's just like letting you drive. I can enjoy the passenger seat. What the hell? Why do I have to do the driving all the time?
Well, you know what? Go ahead and play Clinton's new fragrance commercial.
A fragrance commercial?
Yeah, didn't you know Hillary Clinton? They've come out with a Hillary Clinton fragrance.
Really?
Yeah, check it out.
We'll
I sent
play it
to you.
Yeah. Is that a video? Because people can't watch it.
No, it's not necessarily a video. You can understand what it's all about. Just listen to the words.
Okay. Let's listen to Hillary's commercial, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's her new New fragrance.
Celebrity fragrances. They're everywhere.
First, it was Elizabeth Taylor with Passion.
Then came actress Linda Evans with Crystal.
And Cher with her outrageous perfume, Uninhibited.
Then superstar Elizabeth Taylor came out with another perfume, Notorious.
Now Liz has gotten together with the first lady-to-be, Hillary Clinton, to introduce a new perfume.
Introducing the first celebrity perfume of the Clinton administration. It's
okay.
Part Liz and part Hillary, part Notorious, and part Mrs. Clinton.
It's Hillary's Clintorious.
Nothing smells quite like it.
Holy mackerel, what's that smell?
That's my Clintorious.
Clintorious. Available at fine cosmetics counties, the post office, and at most bait and tackle shops.
Look for the red dinghy decanter. It's hard to find, but worth the search.
Clintorious.
As Hillary Clinton says, this stuff makes that slut Jennifer Flowers smell like a hot tuna casserole.
Nothing smells quite like Clintorious.
Smell it? Huh, I can't even find it.
That's not it.
Where the hell is it?
Clintorious. Give it to her by the bottle, or give it to her in her very own decorative pink box.
That's pretty funny.
All right, you like that?
Yeah, but they don't need the laugh track on there. I mean, what? They need
no,
to tell
no,
us
no,
when
no,
to
no.
laugh?
No, 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 no. It was something that was played.
Oh, like a stand-up thing, you think?
It was played by another radio station.
Yeah.
Over in Australia.
Oh, I see. And they had an audience or
and
something
they,
there?
Well, it was in a radio station. They played it in there, and of
it
course
it sounds like
they
there was a lot
it.
Of people laughing.
Yeah, 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 it did.
Wow. That's pretty cool, huh?
It is.
Clintorious.
Clintorious. Clintorious. Holy mackerel, yeah, you know.
I know.
Yeah, I thought that was funny.
And then the pink box at the end.
But, yeah. Oh
people do
God.
All kinds of crazy things. On
yeah,
the
don't
internet,
they?
You know? I mean, you can find just about anything there.
Yeah.
It's so cool. So Hillary won in both Ohio and Texas.
I know.
Which is extremely exciting for us, or for me at least.
I had no idea. I just
yeah. I mean, she really needed to win those two states, and she did. So, you know what's funny is I was looking through our past shows, mm-hmm. and, you know, I put a little blurb, a little description under each show, what we talked about, like the highlights.
Yeah.
And I see that last week or right after Super Tuesday, you know, not after Super Tuesday, but after the 11 wins of
right.
Barack, you know, I thought and I said that Hillary might as well just start planning what she'll do in the next 4 years.
Yeah.
You know, and here she is still a very big contender. So the Democratic race is far from over.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
It's interesting
like,
to see
oh,
how
wow.
it'll develop, yeah.
Oh, wow. I know.
Yeah. So Hillary might still actually make it. I read somewhere that I guess she was popular with women in both Texas and Ohio, which is nice because apparently women in other states preferred Obama since he won.
Yeah.
Know, in so many states. But he only got Rhode Island last night. Oh, you know, not a lot of delegates from there, you know. But they're neck to neck.
And so that's what it comes down to then, now neck to neck.
Yeah, and so this has made it like a really exciting election year, you know. It's just like a Super Bowl or something, you know.
Do you know what the percentage was? The percentage wins?
Yeah, we can find out real quickly.
Okay.
Yes. The Democrats had... you know, it doesn't say percentage. Now it only talks about the delegates. So Obama has 1,515 delegates, mm-hmm. and Hillary has 1,424. So
oh.
he's leading by about just under 100 delegates. So it's definitely within reach. But
so
they're both very far from where they need to
yeah.
be. Because they need to win 2,025. And the highest they have is 1,500. So they're still looking. But there are super delegates as well. Well, I guess those are counted in there
yeah.
already. So, yeah, and Hillary's got more super delegates, which I don't know what the super delegates are. I just think it's some people with more weight that
right.
would join in if there needed to be whatever. I don't know. I'm just talking shit. Yeah. Try to make sense of something you're not sure about.
That you're
know?
Not sure about. Yeah.
Try to squirm your way around it.
Oh, that's okay.
Yeah, so she looks smiley and encouraged and everything. Of course, McCain is clinched, and he's the Republican nominee. So
wow,
it's going to be interesting.
I think I read across the TV, too, that Huckabee is quitting?
Yeah, he's
is
dropped.
Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't even mathematically, he couldn't even
win.
Oh,
okay,
Okay. So, yeah, he just stayed around. You knew he wasn't going to win. He knew he wasn't going to win.
Yeah.
But some of them are just like, you know, they figure it's not my money. I'll keep on running until we run out of money.
Oh, really?
Yeah, what the fuck, you know? What's he going to do with all that money? So, yeah. And he says his career lacks plan B. Yeah, he was so sure he'd get elected, right?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is that what he said?
That's
is that
what
he
says,
said?
Yeah.
Holy crap. Wow.
Yeah. And the funny thing is both Democrats claim a win, you know?
Really?
Yeah.
So, I won.
Yeah, so Obama still wants to believe. Yeah, but I mean, he still may well be our president. Who knows?
Yeah,
who knows?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I wanted to talk to you about this thing that is like, you know, I'm not really comfortable talking about it because it's kind of personal, you know, and I tend not to talk about my family. But for people that listen, I think this will definitely help, like, in future decisions or things like that, you know.
Right.
And what that is my daughter's had, like, you know, like a condition, you know, she's just like her. I mean, for her, life has just been difficult, you know. For my son, for example, he glides through life, you know, no problems, no nothing, takes him. But
with a few blushes here and there.
Yeah, yeah, you know, but I can see that life is difficult for her, and I often compare it to the way my life has been, you know, because many times I've just felt like the whole world, the whole universe was against me. You know, and you just like you walk around with like dark glasses on your eyes and you don't see shit. You know, nothing looks promising, or it's hard to be optimistic or hopeful or anything.
Right.
You know? So, and, you know, so that's affected her at school and at home and all that stuff. So we've been taking her to a doctor, you know, to a psychiatrist for a couple of years, and he's been prescribing medication, but nothing. She just seems to get worse with age. And I've been telling him, I said, you know, we have, you know, a similar thing running in the family. I think it's hereditary, and this is what I think she has. You know, I don't want to get into the details because it's my daughter, you know. So he kept on arguing with me. No, that's not it. It's this. And he kept medicating her for whatever he diagnosed.
Right.
Right? And she keeps going, and she doesn't get better, and he keeps insisting and being a stubborn ass and bad-mouthing her mother and everything. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, it's like I really got pissed because I'm thinking, this motherfucker is arrogant, you know? He's not even going to listen to me. And so we finally decided that's it. We're taking her somewhere else. So we took her to another doctor, and in an hour and a half, she diagnosed what she has. And that's exactly what I've been telling the doctor all along. Because I've researched this shit.
Yeah.
I've researched this shit, you know? And so here's the motherfucker, and excuse me for being so angry, okay? But this is not only a lot of money that we spent there on the 15 minutes that he's going to give you, okay? A 15-minute visit for $100 just so he can ask you a couple of questions like pretend that he cares.
Yeah.
You know, look in his notes to remember what you told him last time. And that's it, you know. So why even go there? If he just prescribes medication to you, you don't need to go there and spend $100, but they'll make you do it.
Yeah.
You know, to fucking rip you off. My problem with this is this. Doctors are there, and we've always trusted them. You know, most people trust doctors.
Yeah.
And for them to take advantage of you when you're so vulnerable is, I think, the most disgusting thing a person can do. Okay.
I don't just
hate lawyers. I hate doctors too, and I have for a long time, especially dentists. Okay, dentists will rip you off. They'll take your fucking tongue through your asshole. Okay.
Oh, I remember back in the day, if you went to the dentist, they found every single hole in your teeth,
and
then they would drill out your tooth for no reason at all, just so they can fill it up with amalgam and charge you an arm and a leg for it.
And they're very expensive here. You know, you go anywhere else in the world and you pay like one-fifth of what you pay in
here. Yeah, I know.
You really do.
I know.
And So not only are they expensive, but I'm also thinking how many kids and people in general are walking around. Well, I'm not talking about the ones that are not diagnosed, because, you know, if you don't seek help, nobody's going to diagnose you.
Yeah.
But when you seek help and they diagnose you wrong and they would never even consider something else is beyond me.
Yeah.
You know, and this really, really pisses me off. And I've always had this thing against psychiatrists, because the thing is that you go to a psychiatrist, they don't give a shit about you. Okay, it's not like going to a therapist. You want to talk to someone who's going to be sympathetic and, you know, and empathetic and would understand you and would really care, go to a therapist. Go to a psychologist, not a psychiatrist. The psychiatrists are medical doctors. They work with fucking formulas and equations.
Yeah.
You know, they have to build a combination of medication that works for you. They have no people skills.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, it's not the first one. Yeah. That's why I'm saying this. Almost invariably, every psychiatrist that I've seen, that I've met, okay, has been a total fucking arrogant motherfucker, okay? I'm using beautiful language, illustrative language today.
You notice the last two days you've gotten really feisty.
Yeah, well, shit brews inside of me, you know, between the Craigslist and this fucking doctor here, you know. And not only that, but now I get to talk about it on the radio and share this.
Yeah.
You know, so yes, I mean, I get emotional about this. There you go. I get fucking emotional about this, you know. This really pisses me off because they're playing around with people's well-being and totally running you around, and it really pisses me off.
Yeah,
you know. And if we have any listeners out there that want to comment on doctors, on anything, even if you want to change the subject, that'd be fine. Call us at area code 818. Of course, put a 1-1-818, 602-4498. Again, 818-602-4498. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah.
So that's that. Now, but what a relief that she finally was diagnosed correctly, now she can get the right medication.
Right.
I'm willing to bet you that she's going to get better. And, you know, I'm actually starting to think, I'm not that kind of a person, and I probably won't do it. But what I'm thinking is, sue his motherfucker. Sue this motherfucker for all the shit that she had to go through for 2-3 years.
But why did you continue to take her back to the same doctor
Good question.
If you felt like that?
Because, you know, you fall into this comfort zone,
mm-hmm.
and you just don't seek out. And especially with doctors, you often want to be referred by someone else. You're not just going to open the yellow pages and pick
right.
out a doctor.
Right.
And I guess, you know, we just never really sought out any recommendation or anything for a referral to a doctor.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, I would think we're partly at fault here too. I agree.
Because
we should have done something before. And you know, I mean, God.
How did your daughter feel like about him? Did she feel?
She hated him.
Oh.
Her mother hated him. I didn't like him. So why did we continue going? I don't know. Beat me over the fucking head. Maybe wake me up one day. You know. But it's really. I mean, it's ludicrous what goes on here. And I'll bet
you so
much.
I fell in love with my therapist.
You did?
Oh, yeah. When I remember...
A man?
No, a woman.
Oh, okay.
But I mean,
I fell in love with her.
Like, I couldn't wait to see her because it felt like she was really peeling the issues away and digging in.
Mm.
I was like, it was starting to all make sense.
Yes. You know,
and it was a beautiful thing because I'd always walk out like, oh my God, it's true, it's real, it's like, it's, you know what I mean? It's that kind of thing.
Yeah, but that was a relief yesterday. I mean, for my daughter too, you know, because now there's a name for what she has and she can actually have some hope.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you lose hope after they try to give you all kinds of medication and none of it works. You just say, fuck it, you know, fuck it. Anyway, we have a phone call coming in. Let's see.
Hey.
Good morning. You're on the air with Sam and Manu.
Yeah, hi, Sam.
Yes.
Dr. Fred.
I'm sorry?
Dr. Fred Bell.
Oh, Dr. Bell. Oh, my God. Welcome
to
the show.
Hi, Dr. Bell.
How are you?
Good. You know, you really hit a nerve there with your daughter. I had to go through that with one of my daughters.
Uh-huh.
And I've been down this road big time. And last Friday night I had... Dr. Colin Ross on,
mm-hmm.
who's a psychiatrist. He's on our side. these drugs, you know, I don't know if you know this or not, but I was up at, I did schoolyard shoots. I started covering on the air radio schoolyard shootings since 1979.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay.
Wow. Yeah, and I've been, I was up at Columbine with Al Gore and Dana Reno, and I had Mark Taylor on my show, who was shot 12 times by Eric Harris.
Yes.
And I had Dr. Ann Tracy on my show, and she went up and she testified against the, for the FDA against the psychiatrists.
Wow.
And she was also a consultant on the Andrea Yates case where she killed her kids. Remember
yes.
that?
Yes,
right.
When she drowned them in
that.
The bathtub, yeah.
Yeah, and what's happened is these SSRI drugs that they're using on these kids,
right.
like Paxil.
Yeah, the antidepressants, yes.
They all have homicidal ideation. When you go into the ingredient list, the active ingredients
right.
of these things, one of them is called methylpiperidine, another is called hexane and hexene.
Mm-hmm.
These are ingredients in angel dust.
Wow.
You're right. Big, I remember yeah. reading about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow. There's a big conspiracy between Big Pharma, you know, the drug companies, which has gone back all the way to Hitler's time,
mm-hmm.
With something called IG Arben, to destroy people and create rifts in our society so they can legislate constitutionally away our freedoms, of what few we have left anyway.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
I agree.
Very interesting.
And what we've done, they're on our website, we have my daughter lives over in England. She's 20. She's an airy, high-strung, very bright.
Mm-hmm.
And what we've done with her, besides some nutritional therapy, is I started working with a company called Bright Light. And what happens is these SSRI drugs that they give you, like Paxil and that, they're called serotonin reuptake inhibitors.
Right.
And what they do, serotonin is a flight or fright hormone in the body that, you know, and it's primarily what's called a death hormone, meaning that when children are very young, it's active in their brains to shield them from loud noises, arguments. And if you remember when you were a kid, maybe your parents were arguing, it was like a lot louder, you know, than it would be today if you witnessed the same thing. It's more of a higher emotional impact,
yeah.
you know, when you're younger.
Yeah. But, you know, I wanted to ask you on the homicidal ideation. Isn't that a part of depression anyway? You know, because I don't know necessarily that the drug is the cause and the ideation is the effect of it, you know?
Right, that's true. But see, what happens, the ideation kicks in because an older person starts to get a higher sensitivity to serotonin because it's being held back by the drug. You follow me?
I do, yes. Yes.
That makes you sensitive like a very young person.
And right.
So what happens is, like in the case of, what's his name over there in Illinois the other day, he took off his medication and then it starts detoxing out of the liver and it sends him over the top.
Ah.
The full-on angel dust trips.
Right.
What we have found, working with this company called Bright Light, that if you subjugate a person, a child, for example, or an adult, to 402 nanometer, which is blue light, for 15 minutes a day, it produces a natural balance of serotonin in the body and a tremendous calming effect. And so we've been selling those, and we've been recommending to people. You can just look it up on the internet, Bright Light, at some point.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
it's really interesting. There's a lot of studies on it. A lot of psychologists are behind it, and a lot of psychiatrists are on your side thinking that, you know, like the one you mentioned earlier on the air,
yeah.
does create that problem. They are arrogant, and they're in the money.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is that if you only listen, because the thing is, you would expect the parents to have a little better idea about the child than the doctor does, you know?
Yeah,
so,
they do. Yeah.
You know, and you do your own research and everything, and then he just sits there with all his years of medical school, and, you know, and this arrogance of, like, not to let your, you know, your patient participate is beyond me. You know, it just doesn't make sense when we trust doctors like this.
Well, the most arrogant, you know, not all medical doctors are arrogant.
No,
if I were to have a chart of the most arrogant specialties,
right.
it would be plastic surgeons and psychiatrists.
Yeah.
Both of them.
You're absolutely right.
You know,
yes.
You know,
They like to play God.
The ones that mess with women's breasts and the ones that mess with people's heads.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're right. Yeah. I guess they have a sense of being God sometimes, you know. But
yeah, God complex.
And yes, and they're not really the ones that deserve to feel this way. I think a regular doctor, a physician, one that can save lives, can probably, would be justified maybe partly for feeling that way. But these people, I mean, a plastic surgeon, come on, you know.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I agree with you.
The GPs, the general practitioners, are the dogs on the medical pole. They make the less amount of money and they work the hardest. They actually earn their money.
Right.
So but those other professions, the other divisions of it, I have no use for.
Yeah, yeah. Well, thank you so much for the information.
Guys,
obviously you've checked into it and researched this, and you know what you're talking about. So I really appreciate the input, you know, and I hope you call again, Dr. Bill. It is a pleasure.
When you start, you know, you start pushing buttons where I've had the same problem with my kids, you know, especially my daughter, you know, and I've found solutions for it. I just want to share that. I think it's very important. Because remember, kids are our future, you know. There's not a whole lot of... The world that we came into is a lot nicer than it is today.
There you go. And we've got to help them any way we can, you know. I just...
Exactly.
I would hate to imagine when your child grows up and then they would ask you, well, if I had problems, why didn't you do anything about it? You know, so...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, remember, the other thing is, as a parent, don't take... this is my thing. I took on a lot of guilt about the condition because I had three daughters that I raised. They were all different. I just realized that I was sort of like the babysitter of their souls, how they got their own wings and could fly, you know?
Yeah, that's a nice way to
look at it. I gave them the best advice from my heart, and that's all you can do. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's my feeling anyway.
Yeah, you're right. I have to agree there. So, again, thank you for calling, Dr. Bell, and
have
a great day.
All right, you guys have a great show.
Thank you very much. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye. Okay, so that was Dr. Bell, and you see we're in totally in peace now. You know? And he's a friend of the show, and we'd love to have him every time. So that is the thing with the doctors, you know. And so I guess I said what I felt, and now I got it out of my system, mm-hmm. and I feel a lot better. So where's your cleavage today?
Oh, I had covered it up.
Oh man,
no,
to look
because
at.
I had gotten a couple of emails and a phone call last night. Like, what are you doing, flashing? I'd be like, look, I wasn't flashing.
She wasn't flashing, no.
I have a full coverage bra on, so of course you never saw anything.
No. We'll talk you into flashing one day, Manu. Just stick around long enough.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll get all your fucking clothes off. Which reminds me, talking about, beautiful women.
Okay.
All right, not that you're beautiful, but... What? You remind I had to say it.
Of course.
Anyway, look, I would not be sitting here and looking at a dog every day for 2 hours, okay? But I got to meet Johnny's new co-host yesterday.
Stephanie.
Stephanie Paul, the lady from New Zealand.
Yes.
Maybe she prefers a girl from New Zealand. I don't know. She doesn't look old enough to be called a lady. But
she's only a young bumpkin?
No, hang on. I mean she's probably around your age.
You know what, I think I remember her mentioning how old she is, like in the mid 30s or something like that.
I'm sure. I mean that's about the age she looks like. And I love her. I mean, I love her on the show. You know, I listen to their shows and she's just a natural, you know. And the thing is that just like us, you know, they have the chemistry. They have the the connection between them, you know. We got a phone call, so you guys have to realize on this show, when we finally get a phone call, we just answer it. Fuck what we're talking about at the moment.
That's what phone calls are for.
Yes. Good morning, you're on the air. Hello. Music.
What is that?
That's a cuckoo. A cuckoo clock.
Okay,
we got it. Thank you very much. A cuckoo clock. I love
that.
Who
is that?
I don't know. Someone, a friend of the show, another friend of the show or something?
Okay. Oh, they're going cuckoo.
Yeah, cuckoo. Okay.
Yeah.
So anyway, so we were back on, we were talking about Stephanie.
Right.
So she just is a natural on the radio, and they do have great chemistry, you know, and I wish she was with us every day, you know, but she obviously has other career endeavors and all that, and so I got to
Don't
meet
we
her,
all?
You know, we went for a drink yesterday after their show, and she's extremely nice, you know,
yeah.
And I'm really happy to have her, and she is beautiful, Manu.
Yeah.
She's beautiful, you know, and, you know, the kind of beauty that makes an old man cry, you know, type of a thing, makes you just want to cry. And you see, you don't understand. I mean, there's beauty in women that can totally turn on a button,
right,
where you just like, you melt. You know, whatever she would say, you would do. Just to be able to look at her, you know.
It's got
to
be the accent.
Yeah. Well, it's not that accent. I mean, look, I love your accent. I love hers. But that's not it. I mean,
yeah.
She just has a beautiful face, you know. And but it's not only the way you look. It's the way you carry yourself. And
yeah.
And that's what makes people attractive, you know. Because if you have a beautiful face, but it's always in, you know, in a grimace or something. And you know, and you don't project happiness or some kind of a good attitude, then your beauty is not so profound anymore.
No, I, you know what, I see that a lot about, you know, with a lot of women walking around.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, they're very attractive women or men. Oh, actually, it's mainly women that
uh-huh.
you notice it more on.
Yeah.
And it's the way they carry themselves and their expression on their face just
mm-hmm.
makes them unattractive.
Yeah.
It really does.
Mm-hmm.
It really does.
Yeah.
Something that, you know, I get told is the way that I carry myself, and I never really go around looking with this big, you know,
yeah.
sad face or angry.
I know, or like,
you know, like, grrr,
yeah,
and,
or even
you know
a
I mean?
Blank
kind of
look,
thing.
You know, even those blank looks you get, because these beautiful women, they feel like they're posing, you know, and that's what they do. They pose. They walk and they pose at the same time, you know, because, oh, yeah, that man must be looking at me, so I better strike a good pose. That's how it feels, you know.
Like and Paris Hilton.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. Yeah,
she,
that's a little.
I bet you she's the number one posing woman
yeah.
in the entire world.
She poses. I mean, fuck, you know, it's like when she goes out anywhere.
She knows her angles. She knows. I mean, my God, that time that she came into the Falcon,
uh-huh.
I mean, I'm not kidding. She walked in and it was like complete catwalk pose.
Mm-hmm.
Like she looked around, she stopped, she, you know, pushed her hip forward
uh-huh.
and tilted her head, looked around.
Yeah.
I mean, it was, I was like, oh, that is so sick.
But that's Paris Hilton. That's Paris Hilton for you.
I know.
Anyway, you know that we've been going about 45 minutes without stopping, which is
yeah.
great. You know, I mean, we've had a lively show this morning. We've had Dr. Bell calling and a cuckoo called. And so now that we've got that going, we're going to see if our guest is here, and we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Okay.
Now, this is for the people. I want to play a song because I thought about it the other day, and I thought, you know, we're like at a good time in our lives right now. I mean, you finally found a job. You're doing radio. You know, you're fulfilled. You seem happy.
And I got paid yesterday. Yeah.
Oh, you got paid. Oh, my God. Manu, that's why you're so happy today. She's all chirpy and everything.
Maybe that's why I couldn't sleep. It's like, oh, my God, I got paid.
Yeah, I got paid. Last time I saw a greenback was a long time ago.
Yeah.
So I was thinking that, you know, we're doing really great right now, but there's people out there who are not doing that great, you know,
yeah.
and so forth. And so for those of you who are like that, let me play the song Hold On. Remember the song Hold On by Wilson Phillips?
Oh, yes.
And you know that these are the daughters of Michelle Phillips from the Mamas and the Papas. And
oh, really?
Yes.
I did not know that.
And of Brian Wilson from the Beach Boys.
Okay, now I did not know that.
Yeah, now you do.
Ah. Why do you lock yourself up in these chains? No one can change your life except for you. Don't ever let anyone step all over you. Just open your heart and your mind. Mm-hmm. Is it really fair to feel this way inside? Change, things will go your way, your whole world.
listening to California Dreamin' with your hosts Sam and Manu, only on BBS Talk Radio.
And as the man said, only on BBS Talk Radio.
I was hoping you'd play the other one.
Which one?
You know, my dick gets hard when it blows in the wind or something.
I'm sorry. Oh, okay. Well, we do have guests here, you know. Manu, you got to watch your language a little bit, okay? Not everybody can handle that. But we actually have not one guest, but two guests today.
I know.
Got double lucky here. Thanks to my wonderful memory, right? And because I try to base everything I do in my head, and I have an iPhone, but I don't use it for it, so I often tend to forget. But I did have a spreadsheet here, and Melissa was on there, but Zach was not on there. So let's welcome Zach. How you doing, Zach?
I'm fabulous. I'm great. Beautiful day.
Great.
It's
wonderful.
Great. It's a great day.
So. Yeah. I'm trying to figure out why, Manu, we're getting only one side of the headphones.
You know what?
This
so
happened
am I.
Last night with the... you know what? Hold on.
Oh, he's going to try something else. What's going on? What's he doing? He's going to try and adjust something.
I don't know why that. If all else fails, punch it or kick it.
That's what I always say.
Okay, thanks for bearing with us. Try now.
Oh, hang on. Side. So it must be...
Somebody must have played with the microphones here. Okay.
Sing a song too. You guys got lucky.
Oh, there you go. Okay, now I'm really letting lucky. You talk on two microphones. So now you sound like in stereo.
Right.
Okay. So Zach, introduce yourself to us. Tell us why you're here. What is it that you do? Let us know a little bit.
My name's Zach Morse. That's not a joke. That's my real name. I'm an actor. I'm originally from Chandler, Arizona, little suburban area in the Phoenix metro area.
Uh huh.
Been acting for. I don't know, 6-7 years now.
Really? And how old are you now?
I'm 20.
Oh,
I'm
20. Wow. So yeah. You've been acting since you were young.
Performing Arts High School. Came
wow,
out
so young.
Conservatory work.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let the age fool you.
Yeah. Don't let the age fool you. He's got a lot of life wisdom at 20.
Yeah. I won't claim all that, but I'm a little bit more weathered than most people my age. But yeah.
Why? You've been through a lot.
We all have our stories.
Yeah, I guess. You want to share any with us?
Oh man, we could be here. That's a book. That's a series.
Really?
That's a series.
Yeah. What's the worst thing that ever happened to you?
You know what? I got locked up for a little bit before I moved out here, and dude, jail is not a place. For anyone, but at the same time, I'm a believer that I think everyone should go to jail at least once.
Really? Okay, Manu.
I think you can learn a lot because I learned a lot from that experience.
I'm sure.
And here's the funny part: I was only in there for a week.
Yeah.
It was.
I'm just wondering if this is stuff I really want to learn. You know what I'm saying? I'll learn it in other ways.
No.
I don't have to go to jail.
I got sent to solitary confinement though, because I was.
Oh my God.
A hard ass.
Really?
Rebel. Yeah, because I got sent right after I had turned right after I was legal, and just shot my mouth off and. Solitary confinement. I guess that's the thing that really changed.
They probably wanted to protect you too because you're an attractive young boy and it wouldn't have been safe for you.
You just made his day. Yeah, but exactly. Not being around prisoners.
You know what? I think that's somewhat of a rumor too. I guess it all depends on where you're locked up because in the specific jail that I was in, that didn't really happen.
Right. So. Okay. Well, you were safe.
Yeah, because they you actually shower. Separately, and there's security guards that watch you and everything. So.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
What the hell am I talking about? I'm here talking about jail.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. You come to the show, you don't know what's gonna happen.
But
you know?
It was a minor charge, and I did my little time, my 1 week, and yeah, I got over it, changed my life, and
cool.
Got my shit together, and came out here.
Yeah. So you learned something from prison. Good.
Definitely.
Good for you, man. Okay. So yeah, we can go into nicer things, but now I believe you when you say you've been through some stuff. Okay.
Yeah.
So you started acting at 14. Right?
13.
13.
Yeah.
Wow. And have you been in any movies we've heard of, or
no,
maybe
my
small
first,
parts?
My first film. I'm a theater stage actor. I've done stage acting all my life.
Wow.
That's the best way, I believe. I mean, if you're gonna be an actor, you gotta get trained, and the best way to do it is to start off on the stage.
Really?
I mean, the best actors in the world aren't the ones that win the Academy Awards. I'm sorry. Yeah. Sorry. Daniel Day-Lewis is fabulous, but, I mean, there's someone out there that's 10 times greater on the stage, I guarantee
Yeah.
The greatest actors are on the stage. That's my belief. So, yeah, I started off on the stage. I've done about 20 stage productions, a little over. I've just wrapped my first film, The Humane Heiress. That should be coming out sometime soon. I know we're going to do some film festival in next month, actually. But the MySpace page should be up shortly.
Uh-huh.
It's, once again, it's The Humane Heiress, H-U-M-A-N-E.
Uh-huh.
Heiress, H-E-I-R-E-S-S.
Right.
It's basically an independent film. Drama, full of action, sword fighting, kind of superpowers. It's kind of
science fiction, almost?
Kind of, sort of. It's about the ongoing struggle, battle, war between heaven and hell, and tells the tale of four main characters. My character, STN, Satan, without the A's.
Oh, wow.
I play Satan.
STN.
And the Archangel Michael, and a girl named Ark. And another mysterious being by the name of Dark.
Ark, Dark.
Sounds pretty good.
And there's always the Archangel Michael in these kind of films when it creates war between heaven and hell, I've noticed.
Okay, so, is he like an angel that's undecided which side he's on, or what do you mean? Archangel, so he's like an anti-angel, like the opposite of an angel? Is that what you're saying?
Archangel just means he's like the general of the angels, the leader of the angels.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
He's,
okay.
He's a higher angel.
I see, okay.
But there's like actually several archangels in the Bible.
Yeah.
My favorite's always been Gabriel.
Yeah. Oh, right. You're right.
I love the name Gabriel. That's not
Yeah.
What do I know about angels?
That's right.
Yeah. We will once we get up there, right?
I suppose so.
But yeah, it should be a blast when it comes out.
Did you do all your theater program in Phoenix?
I did a lot of, at my performing arts high school. I did some community theater there.
Okay.
And then out here, I dropped that. I lost that identity. I wanted to. I mean, this is Tinseltown. This is the biggest.
This is the film. Itself. Yeah.
And that's what I wanted to do. I mean, I'd like to go back to theater eventually, but I want to get some film in my.
In your resume.
Resume.
Did you study anything like Meisner or Strasberg or anything like that? I studied it all.
And I have to say my favorite was, and this is internet radio, so we can talk about this.
Yeah, that's right.
Method acting. I had to play the role of a drunk once. I think you know where this is going. And this was back in high school, so this was interesting. But, I basically just got totally wasted and ended up delivering one of the finer performances.
Yeah, that's because you were drunk.
Career.
Forget about it.
But you know what?
I got a standing ovation, so.
Oh, well, no, I'm just kidding.
But how funny is that? Remember I mentioned yesterday I went to an audition and I was supposed to be completely, you know, stoned and
yes,
high.
Yes, you told
so
us about that.
I actually smoked.
So you went and smoked. And
I smoked and I turned
role.
Up the audition really high. And I got a call back and I got the same thing. Like, wow, that was amazing.
There you go. Art imitating life. I don't recommend this for everyone, though, because...
No, not at all.
Some it's an addiction, some it's just method acting, and that's what it was for me. So
I see. So so that went well. Have you ever done anything else for a role that you wouldn't normally do?
Let's see. Have I ever done anything that I wouldn't normally do?
Well, Well, I guess you would normally drink, so that's fine, right?
I'm pretty out there. There's not a lot of things that I won't do, but I've done some. I don't really include this on my resume. I don't know what to talk about. I did I did a little short film thing where I had to do some sex scene naked things. And yeah, but I mean, that's nothing I wouldn't do. I don't know. There's nothing I really wouldn't do.
Okay. So you're pretty gutsy, I guess.
Yeah.
Right?
I've actually even, to help pay the bills while I've been out here, I've done some art modeling and stuff. So, I mean, I do it all.
That's when you sit in front of a class and they draw you. Oh, cool.
You know,
they pay good money.
Let me tell you about a moment, actually. It was my senior year in high school, actually. Homecoming game, which we lost. Always lose it. Did the body paint thing, and I actually got really drunk that night, pissed off. And I ran into a, well, I won't say the name of the grocery store, but I ran into this grocery store naked and ran up to this old lady at this ATM and totally scared her and ran out. And then I went streaking down an ex's street while a friend of mine was ringing on people's doorbells, and I was rolling around in the grass and stuff. And I think it was at that moment in my life that I decided that I could
do anything, right?
Yeah, do anything.
That's cool, man. So how long have you been in L.A.?
I've been in L.A. at about a year and a half. It was September of 06 that I came out.
I see. Okay, and you had those aspirations to become an actor and become famous and so forth.
Yeah, and I had to get away from all the drama back in
the desert. Was there a lot of drama there in the desert?
A lot of drama in the Desert of the Dead.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, between all the crabs and the snakes and stuff.
what?
Well, he said desert, you know.
Crabs?
Well, I'm sorry. What they say? Scorpions. Crabs. They look the same to me.
Oh, damn. All right. Okay, he's
lost
high
it. Right now.
Yeah, maybe I am, right?
High on life.
I just have too many things on my mind, man.
So when is this film coming out?
Premiere, you know what? I just say stay tuned to the MySpace page once it's up. I know we're going to premiere at the Regency Theater on Beverly and Fairfax.
Okay.
The specific date, I do not know, but like I said, just keep your eyes and ears open.
Okay. And who was the director?
The director, yes, of course, Divino Trochet. Can't forget him. He's got IMDb credits all over, so you can check him out on there. This is his first directing. This is his directing debut. He's done some assistant directing and cinematography work, and his IMDb credits mostly acting.
I see. Okay.
But he's out there.
He's good. Was it fun working with him?
Is he good with direction and so on?
He's great to work with. As far as direction's concerned, he needs an assistant. I think that's what I'll just say. I think he needs an assistant or maybe a few, because he's oh my god, he's got a billion things going on.
Yeah, he's overworked. It's hard to direct a movie like that.
But he's amazing. He's hilarious. He's hella fun to work with. So
yeah,
Divino Trochet. So look out for him and upcoming directing projects.
Great. So now, do you guys have a website for the movie that you want to plug?
The MySpace page.
All right. So what you can do is, as soon as you have it, just email me and we'll put a link on our website for you.
Most definitely. And I'll probably send you a clip too if we can do that.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, that'd be great.
We'll play it here. And we'll bring you up again. So you see,
sweet.
You'll live forever here. And and the thing is, that's what's nice about the internet is people that don't listen to you now are going to listen anytime a year from now. You know, I mean, these things are going to stay in the archives for a long time.
Yeah, they do.
So maybe one day when you hit it big, we'll pull that clip out and
remember this boy?
He was here first. Yeah.
My PR will make you guys get rid of this. Delete this from existence.
We'll just edit it. Okay.
Do you have a manager?
Oh, no. Hell no.
You
don't need a manager unless you're... Yeah, I do.
Okay.
But unless you are Tom Cruise, you don't need a manager. I mean, us small actors, independent actors, up and coming, what do you have to manage?
Yeah,
if you
that's
can't
true.
Manage yourself when you're like this, it's like, Jesus Christ, good luck.
Yeah.
Good luck with life. So, no, absolutely not. I'm completely against having a manager. It's just another waste of money.
Yeah.
An agent, though,
cool.
Yes.
You're right. When you get big, you'll need someone to manage everything, you know.
Yeah.
But cool. All right, so Zach Morris,
yep.
And the upcoming film...
The Humane Heiress.
The Humane Heiress.
Yes.
You get that?
Okay.
So we'll have to make sure we see that, right?
And as soon as it comes up on MySpace or that gets set up, make sure you send us a link so we can put it up on our website.
And we'll go to the movie. And thank you so much for coming, man.
Is there anything
else you wanted to say that we didn't ask you about?
Oh, no, not today. Not today. We'll have to touch on the rest on another day.
Okay.
I'd love to give our other guests here a little moment.
We appreciate it. Zach, be in touch.
Yes.
Okay, it was nice to have you. Thanks for coming down.
Thanks a lot, Seb.
And good luck with your career.
Thank you.
All right.
Good luck, man. Zach.
Bye.
All right. We'll be right back.
He's like a...
You're listening to California Dreaming with your hosts, Sam and Manu, only on BBS Talk Radio.
my best to feed her appetite. Keep her coming every night. So hard to keep her satisfied. Oh, kept playing love like it was just a game. Pretending to feel the same. Turn around and leave again. But oh, this love has taken its toll on me. She said goodbye too many times before. Her heart is breaking in front of me. And I have no choice, cause I won't say goodbye anymore. Oh, oh, oh. Whoa, whoa. I've been to these broken things. Repair your broken wings. And make sure everything's alright. Alright. My pressure on your hips. I'm thinking my fingertips. Every inch of you. Cause I know that's what you want me to do. This love has taken its toll on me. She said.
Dreaming with your hosts Sam and Manu, only on BBS Talk Radio.
And that's us.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, we're back, and we have another wonderful guest, and that happened to show up. I mean, I remember that she was supposed to be here, but I didn't remember that Zach was supposed to be here. So
right.
I already apologized to him, and they both get to be on the show, so we get a double pleasure today. Great. So, yeah. So we have Melissa with us.
Hi.
Good morning, Melissa.
Good.
Thank you for coming in. And so introduce yourself a little bit. Why you're here? What is it that you do? Why are you so special?
Why am I so special? Well, my name is Melissa Skirball. Uh-huh. You can find out more about me if you go to hypnotherapytoday.com. I'm a hypnotherapist and NLP practitioner. Life coach. I do past life regressions, all kinds of cool stuff, helping people to change their lives.
Really?
I actually was listening to your yesterday's show, and you were talking about how you get programmed as a kid.
Yeah.
And I help people reprogram.
Oh.
Because you guys were right. You know, you get this stuff that when you're really young, and as an adult, you keep playing out the same script.
Yeah.
Which doesn't always work for you anymore.
No, it doesn't.
Not as you get older.
And you know what I say is I heard something very... interesting ones, and that is that the walls we build up as kids to protect us become our prison walls when we grow up.
Exactly.
You know, so we develop all these defense mechanisms, but we don't need them anymore, but they stay with us, right?
Right, and that's what I help people do, is figure out what the walls are and how they can come down and what the new way to exist is. Because the idea is that we come in not with a lot of preconceived notions. We pretty much just learn everything.
Right.
No, it's everything's learned.
And if you learn something, whether it's a habit or a belief or a behavior, you can unlearn it and you learn something new to replace it.
Right.
So finding a new way to be and taking responsibility for yourself. A lot
of,
I think traditional therapy, a lot of times people get stuck in blame, where they just say, oh, I'm this way because. They spend years and years discovering why they're a mess. And once they discover the reason, that's when they stop, because now they have an excuse and it's not their fault anymore.
Right.
Whereas what I do is say, now that you don't even need to know, because you're going to take responsibility and from now on be who you want to be, not who you've been programmed to be.
Right. But if you're not really attacking the foundation of this, the reason, wouldn't that always keep coming back to haunt you if you don't understand why that happened?
Aren't you always going to have the resentment?
It can, but not necessarily.
Mm-hmm. Because I guess it's like behavioral therapy in that you work on the behavior, you work on the problem, and as you chip away at it, often you do need to go back to further.
Right.
Like weight loss is something that people come to a hypnotherapist for.
Right.
And weight loss seems like it should be something that's easy.
Yeah.
Because, you know, eat less, exercise, yeah.
exercise
more,
more,
it all works. But food and weight, there's a lot of issues underneath that behavior. So a lot of times you start with changing the behavior, and a couple of weeks later, they, as the weight starts coming off, they come back in and say, you know, I'm eating better and I'm healthier, and now I'm freaking out because. Because that defense of eating was keeping them safe.
Yeah.
Or as their body starts to change, they're getting attention that they didn't want
or they weren't comfortable with.
Or
so you think that many women or maybe especially girls will put on weight because they don't want to be noticed?
Possibly.
They don't want to be attractive.
It's keeping people away from you, from being intimate.
Yeah.
You know, it's a physical barrier protecting you. You know, there's also, food's such a weird issue, but food can be connected to love.
Right.
You know,
I'm
Jewish and Italian.
Oh,
and
yeah.
In my family, if, you know,
food
eat,
is love,
eat.
Yes.
You know, so you come to a city like LA, you're in a business like acting where you're confronted with rejection all the time.
Uh-huh.
How do you take care of yourself?
Yeah.
For some people, it's food.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, I also understand that, and correct me if I'm wrong, that often. Victims of sexual abuse will put on weight so because they feel maybe they caused it, they brought it on, so therefore I'm going to make myself unattractive and not attract that kind of attention. Have you heard that before? I mean,
yeah,
does that
actually
make sense?
That book by Wally Lamb, She's Come Undone, I think is the one, is all about that.
Really? Really, yeah.
But, it happens.
Because I've met women that have been through that, and that's what I saw, you know, and it seems like often they'll end up getting a lot of weight,
mm-hmm.
you know. But that's, I guess, just one reason.
It's one reason. There's many reasons. I mean, I do work with weight loss quite a bit, but it's interesting that you had an actor here before.
Actually,
my background is theater as well. I was in New York acting for 10 years. Before that, I was in Boston acting for 10 years.
Really?
And so when I started doing hypnotherapy, my specialty was working with actors on their issues, audition anxiety, stage fright, memorization, things like that. And then it branched out because you can't just do that, although in Los Angeles you'd think you could. But even actors, they'll come in for an audition and want to prep for it, and then after that they're like, hey, that worked really well, can you help me with whatever else that they've got going on?
How does that work, like hypnotherapy with regards to audition? What is the process there, or how does that...
Well, it always varies. It's very individual based on the person and what their issue with their auditions are.
Yeah.
But, like, anxiety, that stage fright that you get is really, you know, people want to get rid of it. But if you have absolutely no adrenaline going, you're going to have a really flat audition. You need a little bit of that to give to the character, to give to the moment. Have you ever, you know, I've been on the other side of auditions when I've directed a couple of times, and people come in and they're so relaxed that it's boring. So learning to recognize the difference between anxiety and adrenaline and how to channel one into the other, and then getting your focus off of yourself. A lot of times, and I work a lot with public speaking as well, a lot of times when people have that, and it's one of the biggest fears in the country,
you know,
number one, more than death, is fear of public speaking.
That's right, yes.
But people are so focused on themselves. Oh, is somebody going to notice my knees are shaking? Is somebody going to notice that I lisped on that last word? Oh, God, I said the wrong thing. And they get very inward focused. And when you're focused on yourself, you're very self-conscious, and you don't perform well.
Right.
If you're focused on what you're trying to get across, whether it's an educational moment, you're presenting you're teaching a class, or whether it's a song that you're trying to sing, give it as a gift. Somehow put yourself out there so that you're focusing your attention on them, and on what you're trying to achieve, all of a sudden it becomes easier because you're not.
And you realize that people really don't care about you shaking knee or anything. They probably don't even notice, you know. But
I've had a few of them.
Yeah.
Truthfully, people want you to succeed. Yeah, they're sitting there. Exactly. They want to be entertained. They want to be educated. They want, you know, they're there for a reason, and the reason isn't to laugh at you.
Exactly. And I think most people are sympathetic. In other words, if you screwed up with something, people probably laugh or, you know, not at you, but just kind of like feel the pain for you, you know.
Yeah,
sort of,
and
like
if you can laugh
better,
at yourself, that, yeah, I mean, that Johnny goes without Carson saying. Used to do it all the time. Yeah. I don't know if you remember that, but he'd mess up and turn it into a joke, and it made him endearing.
Yeah, that's the point, is that people don't understand that, you know. They put on this this facade, this persona, that I'm invincible, you know, but then people can't get through to you. You know, but I think once you break that barrier, like you said, people actually empathize with you if you screw up or something.
Do you ever see the old Carol Burnett show in reruns or on tape or anything?
Yeah, well, I haven't seen it in years, but I used to.
But one of the things that people tend to like the best is because it was live and they messed up all the time, especially Harvey Korman.
Oh, yeah.
And just the way they would handle the mess-ups and kind of that, ooh, did it again moment. And people love them for it.
I know.
Saturday Night Live, too. You see it every so often.
That's where you can. That's where improv.
Improv is important.
And I love. I mean, that's why we do love live radio, you know, because you never know what's going to happen, you know. Anything is possible, you know. So, in fact, today we spoke to someone who attacked us in the beginning for various reasons, and now he's our best friend, you know. So you never know. You never know, you know.
Yeah, it was a heated moment for a while. Yeah.
I missed that. I was driving here.
That was fun, yeah. No, it didn't happen today.
But we
talked about different things. Okay. But so you believe that hypnotizing people makes it easier or faster to get them over their...
It can help. What it does... If you think about the way our mind works, there's our conscious mind, which consciously wants to make these changes, and our subconscious mind, which is resisting, because the subconscious likes to do what it always has done. It works off of the same old script it's been using forever.
Yeah. And we don't have, like, instant access or control over our unconscious, right?
Not really. Yeah. It takes some time. They say 21 times makes a habit. And whether it's a habit of thought or behavior, you have to do something over and over again, especially as you get older. You can't teach old dogs new tricks.
Right.
You can. It just takes a while.
So,
and in hypnosis, what happens is you put somebody into a state which the latest brain studies, CAT scans and MRIs that they're doing, when you're hypnotized, your brain goes into this alpha wave state, which is the exact same state that it's in when you're learning something.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
so basically what you're doing is creating an environment mentally that somebody can take something from the conscious to the subconscious without the critical part of your mind getting in the way. And the critical part of the mind is the part that goes, that's not how I do it. No, I don't want to do it that way. This isn't who I am. And you kind of, when I, you know, count somebody down, put them into hypnosis and say deep sleep, I'm not putting them to sleep. They're consciously going to be participating, but that critical part that's getting in the way of the changes of you becoming who you want to be gets to go to sleep, so that the conscious and the subconscious mind can start communicating and behaving, working together to get where you want to go.
You know, that's very interesting, because Manu, I tried some hypnotherapy, like once, only once, and I always thought I couldn't be hypnotized, but I guess when you agree to be, then for the most part you'll be hypnotized. So, and I remember, like, actually I was like lying down on a chair, on a reclining chair, and she started, you know, the therapist started whatever it is that you guys do, and suddenly I felt like I'm in this like big box, and I'm lying there and I can hear what's going on. So you're like semi-aware, but not quite, you know. I mean, you are like, it's sort of like you're sleeping, but you know what's going on. You know, in the back of your mind, but you don't really care. You know,
right.
That's what I realized. It's like I didn't really care what was going on, and that's what you mean, I think, with the part of you that says no. You know, it's like that resists it.
Yeah.
You know,
and it's not. You know, people think it's magic or that it's a one-time thing, and sometimes it can be, but it depends on how ingrained that old pattern is. Often, you need to not just have one or two sessions, but a few sessions, and also work at your new pattern when you leave. I give people homework all the time and say, when you go home, you have to do this, because this 10-hour session that we've just had is combating a lifetime.
Right.
You can slip back into that pretty easily if you let me see. Maybe I can. Did she change me permanently? She didn't. It didn't work.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's great. Like the smokers, hypnotherapists who are smoking.
Yeah.
I won't work with a smoker until after I interview them for like 20 minutes or so before they come in to make sure they really want to quit for them.
Right. So you need to want to quit.
Yeah. Because if they don't want to, if their reason is, well, my wife's giving me a hard time or my doctor said I should.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, but why do you want to quit? Oh, I don't. Right. I love to smoke.
Then it's
Guess what? It's not going to work.
Yeah.
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 So with you say you work specifically with actors. Are you working with known actors or up-and-coming actors?
More up-and-coming.
Young group?
I've worked with people as a... One of my first clients a few years ago, first actors that I worked with, had been doing really well whenever he auditioned for theater, student films, indie films that didn't pay.
But
anytime he got a paying audition... He tended to get a little nervous and sabotage himself.
Ah,
and
that's interesting.
We worked a couple of sessions, and he came in specifically because he had an audition for Network, and he ended up getting the role, and it ended up recurring.
And oh, awesome.
And so we specifically worked on some of the things that he was dealing with as he... The nerves of, oh, God, this could be big. This could change my life. Because, again, the subconscious mind...
Yeah.
Even though you consciously want this new place, this new thing to happen, your subconscious is like, but I know what I'm doing over here. I'm good at this.
Yeah.
I certainly, when I was in New York and acting.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
That actually makes sense because it's happened to me, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I remember when I was in New York and I was acting and I was mostly waitressing.
Yeah.
And I was mostly being a struggling actor rather than a working actor. And I realized after a few years that I had gotten really comfortable with the struggling part.
Oh,
Even though I wanted to be a successful actor,
I
was really good at I liked sleeping until late and going into my bar and working until 3 in the morning and complaining about how unfair it was. And it was everybody else's fault that I wasn't successful.
Yeah,
and then when you realize you can take control of your own life and that... If you're ready to step out of those old boundaries, you can.
Right.
That's it.
Now we have...
I'm hiring you.
Good. Transformational hypnosis at hypnotherapytoday.com.
Yeah.
We have Melissa with us in the studio, and she's a hypnotherapist. For those of you who want to ask a question or a comment, please call us at 1-818-602-4498. The number again, 818-602-4498 with questions to Melissa. Probably nobody's going to call, but we're given the number anyway.
But we have Zach here, still here. Do you have a question at all for Melissa? Well, I know he's thinking about it.
He's listening.
He's actually thinking. He's listening and he's thinking about a question.
Yeah.
So
let me ask you this now. How many times would a person have to come to you and get hypnotized before you see any results, before you see any progress?
Usually we see progress after the first.
Oh, really?
But depending on how far you want to go and how big of a change it is.
Right.
But, a lot of times I'll start with anxiety relief and stress relief.
Right.
Because most of our bad habits get magnified when we're anxious or stressed out.
Yeah.
Right.
So by bringing down the stress levels and giving them some tools to overcome their anxiety, they start to see a little bit of change in that bad behavior, whether
yeah.
right. biting nails or smoking or eating. And then we get more specific on it. And, people resist, so you take two steps forward, one step back, and that resistance is kind of a sign that it's working, because you wouldn't have this tantrum. Your subconscious is kind of like a little kid.
Yeah.
Let's
see, we have a caller. Hold on.
Wow.
Hold on a second. Good morning. You're on the air with Sam and Manu and Melissa in the studio.
Hello.
Yes.
Hey, how you doing? This is Julio there, Sam. I'm listening to your show.
Oh, Julio from New York.
Oh,
how
yeah.
are you? We mentioned you on the show yesterday.
Down. Sam and Manu?
Yes.
Yes.
I was just calling. I just wanted to call and say hello, you know.
Oh, thank you.
Hi, Julio.
Yeah, hi, Julio. How's it going? Do you have any question about hypnotherapy to our expert here in the studio? Have you ever been hypnotized,
yes.
Julio?
Yes, I do. I have one thing. Does it really work? Come on, hypnotize me to stay focused more.
Sure, if you really want to. It only works if you are actually going after something you truly want. I can't make you do something you don't want to do. You know, you can't. I'm not going to have somebody come into my office and hypnotize them and then have them give me all their money or go across the street and rob the bank and bring it over to me. Unless, of course, you really want to. And then we can talk. But no, I mean, basically, it's hard enough to get you to change to do something you want to do. I can't get you to change to do something you don't want to do. It's almost impossible.
Yeah. So you need to want to change. I mean, just like with anything else, even without therapy, I think you can't change a person unless they want to. I mean, if they can't change themselves, you definitely are not going to change them.
Well, all I do is facilitate. You do the changing yourself.
Right.
I just listen, hear what you're saying, hear where you're bringing up your own resistance, and try and hold up a mirror so that you can get that moment of, oh, this
yeah.
is it.
Yeah.
Julio, was there something specific that you are thinking about changing or wanting to give up or something like that?
Well, I mean, not really. I mean, I went through so many changes, you know, in my life, you know. There's so many things. I guess I have to, you know, whole sheet, maybe come in your office and give you all my money. So, you know, that way we can really get it. But, you know, I was always interested in, you know, how that works. You know, is it a power of suggestion?
Is it
the questions you ask? Is it, you know, like, you know, is it the mood? Is it maybe a song or something like that, you know?
You know, all of those things actually can put you into a hypnotic state. Hypnosis isn't this thing that it looks like in the movies or on TV. It's really natural. Like I said before, it kind of mirrors the state we go into when we're learning something new. If you've ever been really so focused on something that you lose track of time, that you don't notice other people, that you're just in the moment. Athletes, when they're in the zone or in flow,
mm-hmm.
you know, that you might be running a marathon and not notice how bad your ankle hurts
really?
Until after it's over, because you put yourself into this hypnotic trance almost.
Right.
And in that state, you just learn more quickly.
Did you know, Julio, that even when you're driving your car, and then all of a sudden you're just like, oh, wow, I don't remember the last 2 miles. And you wondered, where did that time go? How did I not realize or, you know, where I was driving?
That's hypnosis.
That's hypnosis.
Really?
Oh, really? I do. I guess it's a force of habit, you know. It's the same thing, I guess they do it to us. And I was listening earlier how you do things 21 times and it becomes a habit, like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When I was in boot camp, Marine Corps boot camp, you know, we had 3 months boot camp, and I never thought I was going to remember anything until I got into a firefight and I was in Vietnam. And then all of a sudden you go into this mode and you do things that you say, did I do this? Wow, that's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you kind of like forget about it, but it kind of like kicks in automatic.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's still where that happens. Thing.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing is that you asked originally if this works, and the way I look at it is, if it didn't work, these people would be out of business. You know, it just you know, just like with acupuncture. You know, I never believed in it, and then I got really bad back pain. I threw my back for 2 weeks. I stayed at home. I couldn't move. And then people said acupuncture, and I said I don't believe it. I don't believe in it. And but you know what? Then after 2 weeks, you just say, you know what? I'll try anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I went in, and one time, okay, one and a half times, let's say, I was back to normal, like nothing happened.
Mm-hmm.
So then I realized again, you know, I mean, acupuncture, if it wasn't legitimate, all these people would be out of business. But you know, because eventually the scam would be unveiled and revealed.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that's the case, Julio. I think this works. I really do.
It does. Okay. And your mind's really, really a powerful tool. Most people don't use most of their brain power, but we can. It's amazing. You see people, when they're in shock or in circumstances where it's required, you know, women picking up cars to get their child out from underneath it. And it starts your brain.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And you can stop the flow of blood and flow it with your mind power when wow. you're, and I haven't done it, but the person who taught me has an experience where there was a car accident where he went up and gave them a shock induction and slowed the bleeding until the ambulance got there so they didn't bleed to death.
Yeah.
Oh.
You know, people use it for birthing. They go through the birth process with no pain because they're able to use the power of their mind to control that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's wonderful. I want to thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it. I'm just my lunchtime is over. I just wanted to call and say hello.
Okay, thank you for calling.
I was listening to Santa Manu.
Yeah.
And I thank you again. Thank you so much.
Definitely.
Thank you.
And we want to thank you, Julio. And Julio's going to host with us.
Yeah.
He's going to start soon. Have his own show with his partner. They're comedians. And they actually have a show in New York, right? Radio show.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
That's wonderful.
Called the Julio and Chan.
I'm sorry. What's it called again? You're breaking up.
Julio and Chan.
Julio and Chan, okay.
There you go.
So when I'm in New York, definitely he already invited me to visit and everything. He's a really nice guy, Julio. Thanks so much for calling, man, and thanks for listening.
All right, thanks a lot,
okay,
man.
Take care, bye-bye.
All right, bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.
So one thing I did want to ask you, and go ahead, ask us something else so I can remember, because I know I had like a great question that I'm curious about, and I totally forgot about it.
Ah.
So...
So do you, like with actors, right, mm-hmm. because I'm an actor, this young man that's listening in on the show is also an actor.
His name is Zach.
And there's, Zach, okay. he is a young man. I didn't forget his name, Sam.
Okay, I know.
But there's a lot of us, mm-hmm. out there that have placed ourselves as struggling actors.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's like this... it's almost like a catch-22. We're in this position. We're trying to, you know, get ourselves into the working actor's mode
mm-hmm.
so that we don't have to worry about doing what I'm doing,
mm-hmm.
you know, having to go scream into job,
mm-hmm.
you know, and try and make that money so mm-hmm. I can make ends meet and so on. And do you really think that hypnotherapy can change that around? I mean, obviously, if someone... really wants that to happen.
Well, have you ever noticed how when somebody's really desperate for something,
yeah.
they come across as somebody you don't want
right.
to hire, whether
yes.
it's a job in finance or radio or an acting job.
Right.
And so getting people more relaxed and more comfortable in themselves, having them discover what their own strengths are, I think a trap that happens... with a lot of actors is you come out here or you go to New York, wherever you end up going, and you have a certain set of skills. Hopefully you study and work and make that skill set better. But you have a very specific niche. There's nobody that can do you.
Right.
But people all over the place, you're paying a lot of people a lot of money who are going to tell you what you have to do in order to succeed.
Oh, yeah.
And so you start doing all of those things, which... conflict with each other.
Mm-hmm.
So one person's telling you you have to do this, and this next person tells you the opposite. Never wear white at an audition. Never wear black. Always put makeup on. Never put makeup on. You're too short. You're too tall. And all of a sudden, you don't know who you are anymore because you're trying so hard to fit into these boxes that other people created. And as long as you're trying to fit yourself into those boxes, you might have a really good. You might succeed and become a really good. Co-star and have those roles that nobody remembers because mm-hmm. now you fit in the box and they can kind of put you into anything, but you're not going to stand out because you're not going to be yourself.
Right.
By getting back in touch with who you really are and what your strengths really are and how you're going to present yourself and being confident in that and confident that if the job's right for you, you will get it. And if it's not, you don't need it. And you don't need to put up with a lot of people's
BS.
BS. you start to come across as somebody that people want to get to know. It's like, ooh, who is this person that mm-hmm. seems so sure of herself? Who is this person that's not groveling?
Yeah.
And you start, I think, start to find the roles that are right for you. Now, that's if you do have the talent and do have the skill set and have, you know, not just because you're full of it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and that's, I think, one of the differences, and it's such a stereotype, and I hate to fall into it at all, but when I was in New York acting, people go to New York because they love the theater, and they want to act.
Yeah.
People
yeah.
Be on Broadway and so on.
People tend to come here because they want to be famous.
Yeah.
And there are, and which doesn't mean everybody, or but there's a lot of people who were the homecoming queen,
right,
or something, and they're pretty and they're cute and hot and whatever, and yeah,
and they believe everybody wants to see them and that sort of thing. So,
but there's also a lot of really good actors out
yeah,
here, and a lot
obviously.
Of people who've put in the time and
yeah.
studied and
LA like is full of talent.
Has done yeah. have done theater, have really understand how to build a character and who they are.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, just getting back in touch with that, I think, because
yeah.
out here, especially, you know, I run into so many women with image problems because they might be gorgeous everywhere else in the
right.
country, but all of a sudden here, if you're a size 4, you're
yeah.
fat.
They're like too fat, yeah.
You know,
I don't know about that. You know, it's like sometimes I walk on the street and I see a woman and she's got like a little girl's body, you know, I mean, the legs are like so thin that you go, she doesn't even have a womanly body, you know, and so I don't get that. I really don't get it, but I think it's about the fact we were talking about how the camera adds 10 pounds. So if you're really underweight, you'll look fine on camera. You know?
Yeah, you look great.
Yeah.
I mean, look at Lara Flynn.
Yeah.
I mean, the most skinniest, I mean, anorexic looking woman.
And it feeds on it.
You know,
and,
when
but
she looks great on TV.
If you're on a show where there's somebody who's really thin, then you end up wanting to not look fat next to her when you have scenes with her. And
yeah.
So
yeah. yeah. So if Melissa, if someone wants to, if there's an actor or I suppose anyone, it's not like you're just hypnotherapist to the stars, but how do they contact you?
You can get in touch with me through my website, hypnotherapytoday.com. You could call me at 310-281-6201. And you can also get in touch with me through the Hypnosis Motivation Institute. I teach there, and if you go to the website there, it's hypnosis.edu, and there's a directory of therapists,
mm-hmm.
and I'm listed there as well, Melissa Skirball.
Wow.
Wonderful, yeah.
And that's actually a very, you know, I just to plug them, because it's a pretty cool school, and they offer the introduction to hypnosis course, the
right.
first class.
Mm-hmm.
For free.
Nice.
Both
oh, okay.
here
nice.
In LA at the Tarzana campus and online. So you can find out what hypnosis is and how to do it for
yeah.
no money.
Yeah, great.
Wow,
so hypnotherapytoday.com?
Hypnotherapytoday.com, that's
okay.
my website. And
great. So everybody go and look at Melissa's website. I'm sure I could use some hypnotherapy. Maybe I'll be your first client through BBS
awesome.
Talk.
I think we all could do some hypnotherapy.
Yeah.
That would be very cool. I love working with people.
Can you hypnotize Manu to take off her clothes every morning when she comes in?
Only if she wants to.
Manu, you need to want to, okay? All right, well, this has been
great. I bet I could hypnotize you to take off your clothes.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure you could. I'm sure you could.
Yeah, I think deep down.
But I don't know if you'd want to see that. But at any rate, Melissa, thank you so much for coming.
You're welcome.
We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. It's been
sure,
fun.
Sure. And we'll put your link up on our website as well so
great.
People can find you. Zach, thank you so much again for coming in. We appreciate it. We had double guests today, which made the show really come to life. So
mm-hmm.
I appreciate it.
And make sure
coming.
You do send us the MySpace page
yeah.
once it's all done up to let everyone know.
If we got one moment, I'd like to actually ask my little hypnotherapist here one question.
Okay, but
cool.
quickly, because we're running out of time.
Oh, we got 20 minutes.
I was just wondering, hypnotherapy, is it possible to unlock maybe like a, for actors you work with, like a hidden potential perhaps, or maybe like an alter ego, something like that, while you're in that state? I was just wondering.
I want to be careful how I answer this, because I think the answer is yes, but there's certain caveats to that. in that, like, I really don't do age regression because hypnotherapy is great at creating new scripts, but what it's not great at is recovering real memories, because when you're hypnotized, you're really suggestible. So just by my asking certain questions, you can start to think that you've remembered something that actually isn't true, which back in the 80s, there was a lot of cases of these recovered memories of sexual abuse that turned out to not be true.
Oh, okay.
And it was partially because the therapist that was doing it had an agenda, and partially just because it's almost impossible to ask a question like, did he touch you? Without them taking in the suggestion that, yes, he did touch me.
Right.
So in hypnosis, like, I'll work with actors on creating character and getting in touch with that part of themselves that they have to bring up in order to make this character come to life. Because it's really, any character that you're creating for stage or film or TV is you in a different proportion. So what part of you would you have to kind of bring down? What part of you would you have to bring up? What would it be like if you were, you know, an orphan and raised by wolves? You know, and how does that, what do you have to connect to make that work for you? And in hypnosis, it's kind of like, I think Tiger Wood has been quoted as saying, before he picks up a golf club and goes out on the course, he visualizes it in his head hundreds of times. So by the time he picks up that club, he already remembers what it's like to make that shot.
Right, right.
Okay.
We got to wrap this up.
Oh, sorry. Money, but that's what we do with actors, too, yeah, is have you remember the character.
I just had to know.
No. That's fine. That's fine. I'm just, Manu's getting ready to ask all these questions, and we've got a pretty much whole lesson from Melissa on how to hypnotherapy. You know?
Yeah,
I mean, we can do it ourselves now.
Well, actually, this is probably the most sensible talk that has made sense of hypnotherapy and, you know, like, what's behind it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
It's like all of a sudden I just got enlightened.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Even though I know about it, I've heard about it and all that kind of stuff, it's like, for the first time, I'm being enlightened.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Well, I'm glad to be in service.
She loves to be enlightened. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So thank you for our guests, and we'll be right back.
blown straight into the face of time, like a storm wind that we ring the freedom bell.
The Scorpions and Wind of Change. Cool song. That's one of their ballads.
Yeah.
And those were interesting guests, huh?
Yeah, they were.
Well, we got two for the price of one today.
Yeah. <That's what's> like. Oh, Sam.
Yeah, very interesting. I like the guests we get. You know, I mean, we always learn something new.
Well, they're kind of like a rarity now.
Yeah. Oh, thank you very much. Did you become in charge of getting the guests?
You know what? I almost had a guest come in today.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Because
But you got to ask me first if you have a guest.
I did ask you. And you said, oh, I don't remember.
About today?
Yeah.
No way. I would have looked on the computer.
No, it was
you
a
see,
brief thing.
People playing with my mind now that they discovered I don't have a good memory. They started to tell me, yeah, this happened. And you know it never did. No, you don't remember, Sam.
All right. So, do we have a guest tomorrow?
Tomorrow, no. I don't think we have one yet.
Okay. Yeah.
So, if you want to bring one, be my guest.
All right.
Okay?
I shall
be my guest and bring a guest.
Be my guest, bring a guest.
Yes.
Now, that was very interesting.
Yeah.
You know, you often hear hypnotherapists and so on, and you know, that was kind of like, it was really enlightening.
Yeah.
And
she knows what she's talking about. You see?
Obviously. Because she was able to explain it on a level that was never been able to explain to me before.
Right.
Or I had heard someone explain it the way she had done.
Yeah.
You know, even did you see Zach's eyes? His eyes like, oh, yeah. You know, he could like, oh, yeah. And I was doing the same thing. It's like, oh, yeah.
I know, it's very interesting. And the thing is, you have to remember, she's not just a hypnotist, she's a therapist.
Yeah.
First and foremost, you know.
Yeah.
So she has to understand about the human condition in that.
Yeah, you know? definitely.
So, yeah. So this was great, and then we had Julio calling in, and that's great too, because, you know, he turned out, we spoke like 4 or 5 times yesterday.
Right.
And he's just the nicest man, you know, and I'm looking forward to him doing a show here with his partner. And,
yeah.
That'll be a lot of fun, you know. They're already doing radio in New York, so
yeah.
They know what they're doing.
Yeah.
You know, so.
We got other stations listening to us. That's pretty awesome.
There you go. And there's just going to be so much, you know. Terrestrial radio stations are going to pick us up in some areas of the country and stuff like on AM stations.
Yeah.
So, that you know, that'll be, I mean, the thing is we're destined for greatness. I mean, there's no doubt about it. You know? All the stuff that's happening in the background is just like mind-blowing to me. I mean, it's beyond my expectations. I didn't think things would grow so fast, so big, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm already going back to the drawing board and trying to figure out, how do we handle all the growth, you know? So, but those are good problems, you know?
And I'll take those kind of problems. The funny thing is, you know, I woke up this morning because I couldn't sleep last night.
Uh-huh.
So I did extra research about topics that we could talk about today.
Uh-huh.
And none of them have been
good. Save them for tomorrow.
Sorry, except for Clinton.
Yeah. Clintoris.
That was so funny.
It was funny.
I don't know.
Should we play it again?
Oh, yeah. It's like.
That was
so
funny. Yeah.
Particularly after a great win, right?
Celebrity fragrances. They're everywhere.
First, it was Elizabeth Taylor with Passion.
Then came actress Linda Evans with Crystal.
And Cher with her outrageous perfume, Uninhibited.
Then superstar Elizabeth Taylor came out with another perfume, Notorious.
Now Liz has gotten together with the first lady-to-be, Hillary Clinton, to introduce a new perfume.
Introducing the first celebrity perfume of the Clinton administration. It's part Liz and part Hillary, part Notorious and part Mrs. Clinton.
It's Hillary's Clintorious.
Hillary's Clintorious. Nothing smells quite like it.
Holy mackerel, what's that smell?
That's my Clintorius.
Clintorius. Available at fine cosmetics companies, the post office, and at most bait and tackle shops.
Look for the red dinghy decanter. It's hard to find, but worth the search.
Clintorius.
As Hillary Clinton says, this stuff makes that slut Jennifer Flowers smell like a hot tuna casserole.
Nothing smells quite like Clintorius.
Smell it? Huh, I can't even find it. Is that it?
That's not it.
Where the hell is it?
Clintorius.
Where the hell is
it? Give it to her by the bottle, or give it to her in her very own decorative pink box.
Oh. And so, you know, they're showing pictures as they're playing this.
Yeah.
Of, you know, of different funny things. And they're shown Hillary posing with Natalie Portman, but Natalie Portman's nipples are clearly protruding through her shirt.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah.
I didn't notice that.
Yeah, so that's pretty, yeah. It must be pretty embarrassing
but
for her after
while
the
we were listening to that, because they mentioned Jennifer Flowers,
yes,
so I decided, like,
her?
Well, who is she? Yeah.
You don't know who Jennifer Flowers is.
Well,
I guess she went here.
Defamation suit against Hillary Clinton, so
look,
obviously something's going on there.
Look, Jennifer, I don't blame you because you didn't live here at the time.
Okay.
Okay, but this was a few years back. Jennifer Flowers was one. There was also Paula Jones. I don't know if you remember the name. Those were women that came out of the woodworks to say that they had sex with Bill Clinton, or that he made advances, or yeah, that she was his mistress and all that stuff. So that's that Jennifer Flowers.
Okay.
And interestingly enough, she was on Howard Stern the other day, but I didn't listen to it. I'm going to listen to it and stuff, but it's really important.
How funny.
Yeah, and then people started criticizing him for bringing her on, and because he is a Clinton supporter, and they're saying, well, why did you bring her on for her own agenda? But I don't think that one has to do with the other.
No,
you know,
no.
I don't see. So we'll have to listen to that. And so that's Hillary for you and her new perfume.
Well, I can tell you right now that Jennifer Flowers doesn't look that crash hot anymore.
No, no, she doesn't.
And neither does Monica Lewinsky.
Yeah.
They look,
I know.
They both
better,
look
huh?
like fat cows.
I know. I know. And what was her name? Linda Tripp. Remember that ugly cow? Man, she
oh,
was...
Oh, was it? Oh, yes. Yeah, I remember her, too.
Yeah.
I actually remember that name.
She's the one that let the story out.
Right.
Yeah, she started the whole thing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Isn't that funny?
It is funny.
Scandal.
So it's just about that time again, Manu. I know you want to stay here for another 3 hours, but we do have to open our chairs up to... Gina here? Do you see her? I hope she's not standing right outside. But
Gina
Hendricks is coming up next with her show, Love Life Makeovers. So stay tuned, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Yes.